This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does it suck to be me? I didn't see that.
You
comment.
Just sound a little more down in the dumps about the Padres.
I'm not.
Direction.
I'm not. I'm really
current
not.
Current status.
I'm not down in the dumps, man. I'm not. I'm bummed. You know, I'm so busy with the kids and stuff who actually like baseball and playing baseball. I came home last night. I missed, you know, first couple innings and listened to it on the radio and then sat down and watched it and I went, oh yeah, this is kind of what I thought was going to happen.
I think people would be surprised to learn.
I really wasn't that
mad. I'm not feeling very confident right now either. How could you be after the last, you know, four games on this road trip? Just not inspiring baseball.
It's ugly, man. Ugly baseball.
Not a sign. And that brings me to the manager, Mike Shildt. Can we all agree? We would love Mike Shildt to be 100% right about his team.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, of course we would.
Even I, though, have my serious doubts about whether his optimism, his confidence, and positivity is highly misplaced. But I want to be fair and at least give him a tiny bit of benefit of the doubt, and I'll explain. But let's play what continued. He said after the, remember, 9-2 loss, 8 straight road loss, winless on this road trip, has fallen 2 games under .500, you know, out of the top three in the wild card. This is what he had to say just last night.
We're in a stretch now where it's just we're not getting it done. Now, I don't want to say that there's no level of disappointment or frustration. That's two different buckets, right? Long-term concern, none, zero. I know we're going to end up right where we want to end up, and that is in October. Right now, yeah, we've got it to your point. Starting pitching, we haven't been able to get deep in games. We weren't able to hold him there tonight, today, and you know we weren't able to put together some as consistent at bats.
All right, so Mike Shildt says this is a little temporary blip based on some pitching performances.
Another temporary.
Yeah, they're relying on and Randy Vasquez and Adam Mazur, and yeah, a lot of teams when you dip into starting pitching depth will have a couple of bad outings, and he thinks that. Ultimately, though, this team will be where he expects it to be, and that is the postseason. That's what October means to any baseball person. I don't think you can spin it. We'll have a regular season game on October 1st before we're then eliminated and go to the offseason. Mike Shildt just told us he expects, not hopes, he expects the Padres to be playing in October, right where they need to be. Why does he think that? Is he simply blowing smoke and he doesn't really believe it? Or does he really believe that this team, deep in his core, like, you know, put him on a lie detector, inject him full of truth serum. Does Mike Shildt really believe this team is going to be a playoff team in October?
I think he does.
I do too.
I think he does believe it. I think you have to have that mentality if you're still hanging around, and as poorly as they played, they are in fact still hanging around.
Is it one of those things like Bud Black expects his team to be playing in October? Skip Schumacher expects his team to be playing in October?
They say that's our goal.
Right.
Right.
Or does
he
really believe? There's a goal, you know, and hoping that if everything comes together, we'll get to October is very different than confidently expecting the team is going to be there. And I think Mike Shildt falls in the latter category. I think last year, Skip Schumacher, who had an unbelievable season, if you put him on the lie detector early in the year for the Marlins, he would have gone, yeah, I like some things about this team, but we're going to need to do a lot of things right. I don't expect us to be in the postseason. I would love us to be there. Bud Black, if you put him on a lie detector, he would say, we suck.
Yeah.
He would. He would. He won't say that publicly because he's a manager and he's trying to get the best out of his players, but he knows it.
I mean, I believe that he believes.
I believe that Mike Schilt believes
that
in
they're
going
to go to the playoffs.
Now, does he have the credibility to do that? Because he has managed three Cardinals teams for, you know, an entire season. One of them was a short year, but, and took them all to the playoffs. Presumably, he knows what a playoff team looks like, even early in the season. And I went back and checked. Is there any way that this team resembles any of those Cardinals teams? All of those Cardinals teams had losing records later in the year than this.
Yep.
So none of them were like, okay, yeah, clearly this is a playoff team and we're going to get there. But they all got there in the end.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if it means anything or not. But
if history has proven anything about this team, your answer is no, it does not.
I guess the question is this team the San Diego Padres because they wear Padres uniform, or is every team its own entity?
They are their own entity, but we didn't make the playoffs with a lineup that featured Juan Soto and Manny and Tatis and Drury and Josh Bell and so on.
That team,
no, that
made
team
the playoffs.
Did, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Not Josh Bell and Drury. They were gone. Should have kept one of them. We had a really solid lineup last year, and I know that there were holes at the bottom. Those holes have been addressed, but I don't know, Benny. I don't know that you can say, well, it worked with the Cardinals. It's obviously going to work here. And again, trust me, I put almost none of this on Mike Schilt. Almost none of it. Really, I don't. And I know people want me to. I'm not going to. I'm going to put it on the baseball players themselves, the guys that swing the bat, the guys that execute.
I'm not going to. Yeah.
Quit asking me, man. Quit asking me. And if they miraculously do make the playoffs, you know who I'm going to credit? I'm going to credit the players. Now, because I don't think his message is going to change from...
I don't think it would take a miracle to get this Padres team to the playoffs.
No, I mean, but you're also banking on the rest of the NL continuing to play like ass. And some of them are coming out of it, and some of them are nipping at your heels, and we continue to go the other way.
Some of them will improve themselves,
yeah. And so I put it on the players. I will always put it on the players. If we don't have a good year, it's not Adam Klug's fault. It's my fault. And it's your fault, and it's your fault.
Matt says in the chat, different manager, same results.
It's exactly right, man.
We've seen this team play like this with Andy Green. We've seen this team play like this with Jace Tingler.
Yep.
We've seen this team play like this with Bob Melvin. And now we're seeing this team play like this with Mike Schilt.
And again,
what's the constant? The players.
It's just mid. They're just middle of the road. They're a middle of the road baseball team, you know? And as much as I don't want that to be true, that's what it is.
It's not the hitting coach's fault.
Nope. And I've already seen, Victor Rodriguez got to go. All right, so get another one in. Who's that going to be? What's he going to do? Can't swing the bat for these guys. Can't execute the pitches for these guys.
Your point is valid. The one year they were better than middle of the road was 2022, when they went to the National League Championship Series. What was different that year? Manny Machado was the biggest difference that year.
Yeah,
he played like an MVP.
Yep.
He was number two in the MVP voting. He had a huge season. Last 2 years, he's not had huge seasons. That's the biggest difference between the Padres of then and the Padres of now.
I mean, again, and let me clarify, too. You can absolutely loathe those post-game speeches by Mike Schilt, because I do, and I rolled my eyes last night. You know me, I never watch the post-game because I don't want to get worked up before I try to go to sleep. And I decided, because it was still a little early, I was like, I'll give myself a little buffer time, and I watched it. And my eyes rolled back into my head when he talked about the virtual highlight reel on defense on a 9-2 loss. That's the stuff that makes me crazy. But again, I'm not going to. It's just like your kids, man. It's just like having children. You cannot constantly. You did this wrong. 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 You're terrible. You know, you have to show love. You have to give positives. As hard as it is for parents and as hard as it is for managers to do, you have to highlight some of the positives. He's never going to change. If they want to change the narrative, they have to play better. That's it.
Joe Mazzulla said something, I think, relevant to this conversation last night. One of the last things he said after the Celtics head coach who just won the NBA title. And what he said last night as he wrapped up his championship season is this, and I thought it was very interesting. He said, it's just as dangerous to say, where was that quote? I wrote it down here. It's just as dangerous to say everything is okay, just as it is to say everything is terrible, or something to that effect.
That's fair. I mean, it's a very fair quote from a guy that just won a championship. And again, though, Ben, the public message could be different than the private message. I do not get the sense, and do you guys listening, I don't get the sense that he's like, hey, I just want to commend this guy for that out that he got, and Crony for that play that he made. And then do you get the sense that he goes back into the clubhouse and is like, you listen to me, you tired SOBs, get your ass together. I don't think that that's what's happening. But I do feel like a conversation was had with Manny Machado about effort. I do. I feel like it based on his press conference last night. Dennis Lynn asked him the question. He's like, look, I'm not going to have a lack of effort. Manny hustled tonight. And, you know, and he talked about the barometer that they used and all that. So I do feel like conversation was had. But I don't think it's fire and brimstone. I don't. I really, really don't. I think he is wanting to be positive. We talked to Jerkson Profar at spring training. We asked Jerkson, hey, Jerkson, why'd you block us on Twitter? He said, negativity. I don't like negativity. We don't want negativity. They have to have that mindset. They have to. You cannot come in, cleats dragging, ass dragging on the ground if you're a big league baseball player with 90 games to go. You cannot be a defeatist. So they're not going to panic. They're not going to get upset. That's our job. That's our job. And Mike Shildt, the skipper, you can't have your leader panicking either. And please don't take this as me alibying for Mike Shildt. I know exactly what he's doing. Because why? What are we talking about? We're talking about Mike Shildt. We're not talking about the poor execution of Randy Vasquez last night and, you know, the poor execution of the offense.
That's kind of mind-blowing, actually. Like, we mentioned it briefly, maybe 10 seconds on Randy Vasquez.
10 seconds.
Just laying a meatball to Alec Baum. We've talked about 45 minutes
now
on Mike Shildt.
Yeah. And Margie says, look at the Mets on a winning streak after the big blow up 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 100%, man. Like, is that because of Carlos Mendoza? No. Is it because of Grimace? No. It's because Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso decided to start hitting and their bullpen started holding leads and Edwin Diaz, you know, started to get saves and be effective again. That's why. It's not Carlos Mendoza's doing. But a manager can hold a team together. You know how a manager holds a team together? Positivity. That's how he does it.
Well, you look at every team that's kind of hovering around, and let's bump take on Woods because yeah. I want to keep this conversation going for a second. You look at every team that the Padres are essentially hanging around with right now. Cardinals, Giants, Nationals, Diamondbacks, Pirates, Mets, Reds, and Cubs. They've all been terrible at one point or another. Right now, the Cardinals have the best record of that bunch. They just moved above 500 yesterday at 36-35. They were 9 games under 500 about a month ago, and people were ready to fire Ollie Marmol and break it all down and throw it away.
They had his replacement all picked out already, and it's Skip Schumacher.
It was
they
done.
Said, he's done. He's out.
It was done. The Nationals got off to a terrible start. Pirates got off to a bad start. Diamondbacks, they've just kind of been mediocre all year long.
They said meat. Diamondbacks have been
the Mets were awful. People were ready to absolutely blow up the Mets, and now they're surging and playing better right now. Reds were bad, good, bad, then good again. They've been hot lately. The Cubs were the top of the heap. Now they're the bottom of that heap right now, and you just mentioned the Cubs as being a team that's been terrible. All of these teams are in the same boat. But I think ultimately, while Mike Shildt says, I believe the Padres will be where we need to be in October, I'm pretty sure that Bob Melvin thinks that about his Giants. Torey Lovullo thinks that about his Diamondbacks. Craig Counsell thinks that about his Cubs. One or two of these managers, at least, are going to be wrong at the end of the year about where their team should be and is going to be in October. You want to be one of the managers that's right. Not one of the managers that is wrong to have confidence in your team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and again, you know, there's been a lot of situations where you look to Mike Shildt and say, why would you put him in there and the job gets done? Was that Mike Shildt's doing? Oh, I'm a genius. No, it's that Yuki Matsui got an out. There's also been times where he's gone to a guy in the bullpen and the guy's blown up. That's not uncommon. That happens in every single baseball game across the country every single day. Good. Bullpens make managers look like geniuses. Rob Thompson looks like a genius. Is he? Probably not. Probably not a genius. Knows baseball, certainly. But is he any better manager than Mike Schilt is? I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. And neither do you.
I finally found that quote because I put it in Do This, mm-hmm. which we can pick something else. But Joe Mazzulla said, if someone tells you good job, that's just as dangerous as someone telling you you suck.
I disagree.
That's what the NBA winning head coach said yesterday.
I mean,
after
he obviously
the title.
Knows more than me. But I always think about my kids, right? And I do think about that. Like, to me telling my kid he sucks is awful. Me telling my kid, hey, good job, good effort, does not hurt.
But I think
him. The
point is that if that's all you ever say,
yeah,
good job. Hey, yeah, you'll be better next time. Well, but if you're never
publicly and privately is different. Agreed?
I think that Joe is talking about privately.
Privately.
I think he's talking about privately. And maybe Mike Schilt is different privately than he is publicly.
Yeah, I do get the sense that he's probably the same guy, you know, pats on the back. He always talks about loving his guys. Hey, man, we're going to give him some love. He's struggling right now. I have no problem with it. I have none. Zero. None. It's the right way to do it, in my opinion. You know, the days of flipping tables and smoking cigarettes in dugout are gone. As much as you may lament those days, and I like a lot of those guys too, but he does it a different way. It's on the players. It's always going to be on the players. Always. Never not going to be. Never. Unless Mike Schilt goes, hey, check this out. Tatis, you're catching, and Manny, we want you in center. Then it's on the manager. But even then, it's still on the players. You play. Go find a way to win a game, but it's always going to be on the players to execute. That's it.
All right, let's take a timeout. We'll come back with Don't Do This. We totally missed one of the best topics yesterday because it was, you know, a busy weekend. But the decision to take a guy with a no-hitter out of the game after seven innings this weekend. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of... I mean, I usually back up the manager on these. This one, I'm not so sure about. We'll give you the details when we come back. It's Ben and Woods. Don't go away. Back after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why? How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thekrafttaco.com.
I'll get us started today. Very sad story, Benny. 18-year-old Jackson James Rice passed away just weeks before he was going to make his Olympic debut, Benny. He's an up-and-coming kite foil racing star. Passed away this weekend. He was doing a free dive in Tonga, and he suffered a shallow water blackout. JJ's father said other divers found his body on the seafloor under the boat. They tried to resuscitate him, but he passed away. Again, was about to make his debut in Paris. Very, very, very sad story. Just 18 years old. Broke my heart.
Just quickly, speaking of Paris, they did name the Olympic golf team
morning.
It was just announced. It is done. The USA Golf has named the four participants for the U.S. Olympic team. It will be Xander Schauffele, Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, and Wyndham Clark to represent Team USA in Paris on the golf course. Of course, Xander Schauffele is the defending gold medal winner from 4 years ago in Japan, so he'll be back to defend his gold medal title. Of course, not pictured, Bryson DeChambeau, the current U.S. Open champion, who was not really on the points list because he's been competing on LIV and not not only not amassing, you know, world rankings points, but also points toward the Olympics. Is that an oversight? You can make that argument, but he hasn't been around to kind of put it together. So would you like to have him on the team the way he played last
yes.
week? Kind of, yeah.
The answer is yes.
Absolutely,
give me
yes.
the roster
playing better
again.
Than Wyndham Clark. Scheffler.
Good.
Schauffele.
Good.
Morikawa.
Good.
And Wyndham Clark.
Come on.
Who won last year's U.S. Open, but hasn't been doing a ton this year. Hmm. I think I'd rather have Bryson representing the team rather than yeah. Wyndham Clark at this point.
I mean, he's a showman, you know, like he's got the, he'll be able to whip the crowd up and all
yeah.
that. Yeah. Wyndham Clark. It's very, very safe pick.
Very safe pick.
Yeah, very safe pick.
All right. I wanted to bring this up, and we didn't get to it yesterday. It actually happened on Saturday. And you can debate this one, but Ronel Blanco, who has been the only pitcher to throw a no-hitter this season in Major League Baseball, had a chance at a second one. And there's only been six pitchers in baseball history who have thrown more than one no-hitter in a single season. But his manager, Joe Espada, took him out in the seventh inning of their game against the Toronto Blue Jays with the no-hitter and brought in Ryan Pressly, who then gave up a hit in the eighth inning to Wenciel Perez, and that was it. Or, I'm sorry, it was against the Detroit Tigers, not the Blue Jays. Now, there are some extenuating circumstances. He was at 94 pitches, which is not crazy. I mean, you could get through two more innings without getting up to a ridiculous number of pitches. And you'd think, don't you want to give a guy an opportunity to throw a second no-hitter?
How many pitches?
94.
In now, the seventh?
Through seven innings. I mean, you can get through. You can have an eight-pitch inning, and then you're at 102, yeah. and you have a chance in a night.
I think you got to give him the shot.
Now, he yeah. was, I believe he had that sticky stuff suspension that he had served and had just come back from recently, so that may have been a factor in terms of how stretched out they thought he was and didn't want to push things at this point in the season. But he's already done it once. He showed he can do it and bounce back from it and is doing it again. And he was taken out of the game after seven innings. I just thought, that's a decision you certainly wouldn't have seen 10 years ago in Major League Baseball, 15 years ago. But now it almost feels commonplace.
God, no. No. I mean, it's hard to fault a manager for protecting a guy that they're going to be counting on if they're going to make
of course,
a run.
You of
know,
course.
And chasing records is not really a manager's job unless it's a win or a loss. You got to make the decisions, the hard decisions that can help get you wins at the end of the day, not personal achievements, in my opinion. As much as it sucks for him, and you know, but I don't know. I kind of agree with that move, to be honest.
Taking him out.
Yeah.
All right.
I kind of do.
I mean, like I said, it's a debatable choice.
I mean, if they're going, are they going nowhere? We don't know. It's the Astros. You feel like they
bad
have a run.
Start, but
they feel like they have a run in them, too. And they've had so many guys injured this year, too, starting pitching-wise. Like, I kind of get 94
you don't count
pitches.
Them out until they're out.
I kind of get 94 pitches. Like, bro, we've already lost a couple of big, big arms this year.
But,
I kind of get it.
By the way, they released Jose Abreu.
They did.
Remember, that was someone A.J. Preller was looking at last offseason before he signed with the Astros. There's the rare bullet dodged on what could have been a very bad contract for the Padres.
Bro, you're talking about one of the premier hitters in baseball that cannot hit anymore.
Yeah.
That's how cruel and unusual this game is. Baseball can also be very, very beautiful as well.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Paulie's got some doo-doo this, and I don't know what it is.
Well, it was a very doo-doo this moment. Last night, got a message on, we use some app for communication on the Tier 1 baseball team.
Yeah, Team Snap, it's called.
Team Snap.
Team Snap.
Yeah, it's a good way to communicate.
Post the games
each
week. Yeah,
the schedule, you in, you out, all of that.
Yeah, it's got a messaging feature, and we got a really, really awesome message from one of the guys yesterday. I was wondering, though, because I don't think this is possible. Can Woods read the message, or at least the sentiment of the message, without crying? I don't know that he can.
I choked up last night when I read it, so I think I got it out of my system.
Okay.
But we got a message in the team chat last night, and I love this, man. I'm going to leave his name out of it because he didn't.
Oh.
What?
Somebody already put it in the chat.
Oh,
so.
All right. Well, there you go. Fellas, this was the message I was dreading. On Thursday a.m., I leave for an 11-day work trip to Eugene, Oregon. I'm sorry I'll miss our games on Sunday. It's our playoffs. Oh, the music. Paulie, damn you. It legit pains me. In the immortal words of Paul Reindel and Bo Woods, don't suck. My 13-year marriage ended in late 2023.
His voice is cracking
already. It is. The literal morning after I got the final papers in the mail, I heard Woodsy talk on the show about tryouts for a Tier 1 baseball team. I rearranged my entire holiday schedule to be there. My mom is still making passive-aggressive comments about it. Remember how effing muddy it was? It was just the best. I had no business being on this team, but I was willing to pay the fee, and I think I told Woodsy I could be at every game. What I got in return was one of the two things I could reliably look forward to every week. Friday batting practice first. Without batting practice and those games this spring, I don't know what I would have done. I'm sure it was apparent I haven't played baseball in 30 years. I worked hard in the cage and at Friday BP, and I saw improvement, even if I could never show it to you. I wanted so bad to show up for you guys, but you always encouraged me. I'll never forget it. Anyway, go Tier 1s, go Padres. I hope I'll see you at Petco this summer. After July 4th, I'll be there pretty much all Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday games through the end of the season. And, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like we had 50 guys show up, and there was some reason that I put Sam on the team. I'm not going to say that I knew any of that. I didn't know any of that story. And we did it. And, yeah, man, he scuffled this year, but he was always there, always gave 100% effort, and clearly needed us, you know, more than we needed his production. And it's been such a pleasure to get to know him. And that is...
I hate that he won't be there this weekend. We're going out there for a championship.
Going for the championship, man. It just got me, dude. It got me good. So life can get really tough, and I'm glad, so glad that we had that. I'm so glad that we put that together and did that, and the team has just been awesome to be a part of.
But you got off to a bit of a slow start.
Yeah, we were 4-4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you figured it out and started playing better.
Yeah. Our stars really started to hit.
They did.
Yeah.
They locked in.
They locked
in. But not until halfway through the season, essentially.
Yeah, 8 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. I take zero.
What did you do?
Zero. Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a damn thing. Kept putting the guys out there. Kept believing in them. You know, I did get mad at bad base running. I actually did get mad at bad base running and started fining players. So maybe that's something we can do. But that is really, really good, man. I love that kid. And hopefully we win one for him this weekend.
How fantastic is that?
Yeah, it was great. How fantastic is that? He's a good dude, man. So,
it was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. But it like broke my heart.
Winning
but also,
baseball games and changing lives.
Yeah,
so Steve Woods to do. Over here.
No, not me.
Well,
not
you had
me,
to put him
me.
On the team at least.
Yeah, I just one of those weird coincidences. And yeah, he ended up on the squad and fights his ass off every single week. So hopefully we win one for him this weekend. But yeah, it was awesome to get that message last night. We love you.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Speaking of Woods, last night you tweeted out a request for your most toxic Padres takes.
Yeah. My Ambien had kicked in, sorry. I woke up to it this morning and I was like, oh, all right.
I think it's a bit...
cathartic.
Well, I think it also is up to interpretation what a toxic take really is.
Oh.
But we all have them. Even I have probably a toxic take somewhere in me.
What you do?
I probably do.
Where's that been?
I would like
the last
to hear
6 years.
It. I would love to hear it.
Fine. Let's hear some other
what is
toxic
your,
takes
yeah,
as well.
We're going to spin the toxic wheel instead of the topic wheel. We'll do that
next. You want to join us? 833-288-0973.
Yeah.
It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan, Toxic Wheel. What's your definition of a toxic take?
You know it when you see it.
You just know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. You were in a mood. Well, we were all kind of in a mood last night after the Padres lost to the Phillies 9-2. And you solicited your toxic Padres take. So instead of spinning the topic wheel... when we come back from traffic, Paulie's going to spin the toxic wheel, and we're going to share some of the responses you got to that question last night. That's the topic wheel.
That's the topic wheel.
Wait until you hear the toxic wheel right after traffic here.
That's right.
On 97.3 The Fam.
Yeah.
toxic. That's for sure.
Holy smokes. Well, as you can imagine, Benny, Manny Machado took a great deal of heat in the toxic wheel takes last night. Manny Machado is the reason why the clubhouse has been toxic 3 out of the last 4 years outside of 2022 has been largely disappointing as a Padre. That was one. You've got much of the clubhouse resentment is self-inflicted by the doling out of contracts, which I thought was an interesting one. Here's an interesting take as well. And we can address these, you know, jump right in. Sellouts aren't fun. Concourses are hard to get through.
Wow.
Driving in the gas lamp sucks. I read that one and I went, oh my Lord, okay.
Pining for the better days of 12,000 people in Mission Valley.
That's exactly right.
That's a Tuesday night game. Very easy to get in and out.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Dang fans around, just ruining your experience.
Every great player comes here and forgets how to play. They become mid when they see the beach. We are never going to win.
Those are good.
A championship. A secret deal was made to move the Padres to Oakland, and the players have been asked to be mediocre because that's what works best in the Coliseum. I mean, we really turned it over.
I think some people really believe some of their toxic takes, though.
Oh yeah, I think the bits that I used to go, oh, that's a bit. Clearly, I think you start to believe the bit after a while. You say it enough, you tweet it enough. You start to really, really believe it, you know, after that. Here's a toxic take. The KUSI guys were great. They were great.
That's just a lie.
Sean says, Machado and Tatis don't hate losing enough. They don't care. This team is Charmin soft.
That's an interesting one. Hang on. Stop for a second.
Okay.
They don't hate losing enough. I will certainly say that Manny shrugs it off pretty well.
Yep.
A loss is not fun, but hey, what did he say yesterday? This is a bit of a tough stretch for the San Diego Padres. He acknowledged, tough stretch.
Now don't.
But he does, shrug him off
pretty
well.
Don't you have to as a professional athlete?
I think you do.
And this isn't Manny Machado defense. This is every MLB player defense. Every person that we've talked to, former player, says, you have to just flush it. You have to brush it off. You never get through a season if you don't do that.
That Manny Machado is massively overrated by this fan base, that we should have signed Bryce Harper instead. The Californians are the softest fans in professional sports. Absolutely no accountability is held, and all this team does is get coddled by them. Current ownership doesn't care about winning, just good vibes, appealing to the lowest common denominator fan.
This one in our chat, Manny Machado is fat. Whew, that's pretty toxic.
That was the point. Wanted to see the level of toxicity it's gotten to. And I'd say after, what is it, 5 in a row now?
Four
in a row.
But 8 in a row on the road.
8 in a row on the road. Playoffs or not, I think it's time for some change. A new voice, new ideas. Roster is aging. It shows with the injuries. AJ Preller catches some shrapnel in here. AJ should have been fired after 21 due to a second disaster manager to hire.
Whoa.
What in the world? Was Paula Abdul over there? What was
advertisement?
That?
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, Manny catches the lion's share in here. Fire Norv is also in there. I won't do anything.
Everyone agreed with that take for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, it got. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments, and you know I love the toxic wheel sound. San Diego, this is one from one of my tier one pitchers, Jameson. San Diego's too chill to be a championship sports town. I see that. I see that take quite a bit, and you hear all the little nicknames for San Diego. And yeah, I mean, I submit to you that it's the quality of the players, it's the chemistry of the team, the culture that you have, and you don't need to be some blue collar, ice cold, snowy Philadelphia team. You know, Kansas City Royals have won championships. They're pretty low key. The Texas Rangers last year, they literally don't even like baseball in Texas. I grew up there. I'm speaking facts. Even when they're good, they're the third fiddle. You know, honestly, no one gives a frog's fat ass about the Texas Rangers until August, September, if that.
They don't care. Dallas Cowboys season?
That's right. And even then, it's like, oh, I guess I'll watch the last game.
Yeah, there's enough passion in San Diego.
Bro, 100%.
To win a World Series.
I've been here 14 years. I don't know that I've met more passionate, desperate fans in my life, you know, ever. It's part of what attracted me to it, you know, honestly. And then, like, watching the ups and downs, you know, over the last few years, the moves that worked, the moves that didn't work. You know, I do think, you know, I've said this on the roundtable. I said it, I think, yesterday. I mean, we're just in a position here with this team that we're painted into a corner. And AJ Preller, he's painted in a corner. You are committed long term to a couple guys. This team is unfire saleable. You cannot.
It's not fire saleable, but it kind of brings me to what my potentially toxic take would be.
All right,
and that is, and I know you are. You are committed to some of these long-term players. We discussed that earlier this week. There's really no getting out of some of those contracts. They're going to have to play better. But there are players on your team that you could trade. And it would require a very unpleasant feeling that you're giving up on this season. But right now, it is a massive seller's market. There are 11 teams that are fighting for a playoff spot in the National League that all probably think if we just add the right pitcher or right player or two, we could make a difference. But there's also four other teams that are going to be bidding against those teams for the same players. If you wanted to turn heel and become a seller sooner rather than later, there is a haul to be had right now. You could be sitting and just like fending off offers of, you know, top prospects, young pitchers, things that will be thrown at you for premium potential players. Guys like a Dylan Cease or a Ha-Sung Kim. The Dodgers need a shortstop badly. No one really wants to see them go, but you don't think the Dodgers, if A.J. Preller called and said, what would you give for Ha-Sung Kim? Would he put together an offer right now?
So that's your toxic take. Is that should be on the table.
It should be on the table. They're absolutely not a fire sale, but any player who's going to be a free agent this season or next season could get a huge haul right now and could, you know, maybe hasten a different look Padres team. It would still be centered around probably Tatis and Manny and Xander going forward, but you could reconstruct a lot of the pieces around those guys, add depth, add more pitching. Add more young players that could be coming up as potential pieces in 25 and 26. If you wanted to go that route, this is the absolute best time to do it because there are so many teams that are in it and so few teams that are going to be selling. The price tags are going to be really high. I still think the Padres will be one of those teams trying to overpay the high price tags to add players.
Purple says, let's do it. You say that now. I mean, and again, you know, it's hard because there are two sides, right? The side of, well, we want our team to be fruitful and make money so that we can get better players. If you're getting rid of the players that a lot of people want to go see, who's going to go to the ballpark? You know, who's going to go watch
chicken and the egg?
Yeah, it's the chicken and the egg, and who wants to go watch? Like, oh well, hey, we got the next Adam Mazur up. You know that they've done that here as well. You know that there's been those times here, Ben. So, look, you're not wrong in the fact that everything should be on the table right now. We all kind of think we know how it's going to go, and I don't think it's going to go that way.
I don't either. But the other part
let's say
is,
what if they rip off? What if they literally lose the next nine games? Do you consider it then?
Of course you do.
I think
of course you do. But by the way, we also don't still know really what's wrong with this team.
Correct.
So why would anything be off the table at this point?
Correct.
Heck, you could trade some of those guys and all of a sudden
be better.
Run on a winning streak for no reason at all.
Yeah, our best season since we've started covering the team, they went to the NLCS without Fernando Tatis Jr. Make it make sense. I mean, he's the guy you want on your roster. No? So, I mean, I do think that that everything should be on the table, but yeah, I mean, listen, that's why
KG trade Profar. He's only signed through this year. He's going to be an all-star. He's having a phenomenal season.
What do you get for him?
What
it
can
sucks.
You get for
I
him?
I mean, that's why these are toxic takes.
Michael King, you think he's going to be built around, but you don't have him signed beyond next year. And a team that knows that, hey, we can add him for this year's run. He's throwing
and
really well
year.
Right now, and we get him next year. They would give up a fortune. For a guy like that right now.
That's why it's
ugly. It's toxic. It's painful to even think about. But if you don't start playing better right away, that is a serious conversation that has to be had. You can't trade Manny. You can't trade Xander. They're not going anywhere. Don't think Tatis is going anywhere. But there are tradable players on this team. Valuable players. The actual guys who are playing well are very, very tradable at the moment.
I mean, it's why the next... You know, it's why the next 15, 16, 17, 18 games are just massive. They're just massive. They are. They are incredibly, incredibly important. And let's call it 18 games. How many games again before the All-Star break?
23.
You go 12-11, you're right back to where you
but
started.
You're still in it.
You're still in it. And what does that say to the guys in the clubhouse if you're still in it and you're giving up Dylan Cease?
The real toxic take, which I'm not going to subscribe to, is you're cheering against the Padres now.
Right.
So they don't make more mistakes going forward.
Which I can't do.
No, I can't.
That's not in me.
I can't.
And there's plenty that are.
Oh, wow. All right. We will come back, take on what's next. What's your definition of a toxic take?
You know it when you see it.
You just know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. You were in a mood. Well, we were all kind of in a mood last night after the Padres lost to the Phillies 9-2, and you solicited your toxic Padres take. So instead of spinning the topic wheel, when we come back from traffic, Paulie's going to spin the toxic wheel, and we're going to share some of the responses you got to that question last night. That's the topic wheel.
That's the topic wheel.
Wait until you hear the toxic wheel right after traffic here.
That's right.
On 97.3 The Fam. Sounds a bit toxic, that's for sure.
Holy smokes. Well, as you can imagine, Benny, Manny Machado took a great deal of heat in the toxic wheel takes last night. Manny Machado is the reason why the clubhouse has been toxic 3 out of the last 4 years outside of 2022 has been largely disappointing as a Padre. That was one. You've got much of the clubhouse resentment is self-inflicted by the doling out of contracts, which I thought was an interesting one. Here's an interesting take as well. And we can address these, you know, jump right in. Sellouts aren't fun. Concourses are hard to get through.
Wow.
Driving in the gas lamp sucks. I read that one and I went, oh my Lord, okay.
Pining for the better days of 12,000 people in Mission Valley.
That's exactly right.
That's a Tuesday night game. Very easy to get in and out.
Yeah. Yeah,
dang fans around, just ruining your experience.
Every great player comes here and forgets how to play. They become mid when they see the beach. We are never going to win.
Those are good.
A championship. A secret deal was made to move the Padres to Oakland, and the players have been asked to be mediocre because that's what works best in the Coliseum. I mean, we really turned it over.
I think some people really believe some of their toxic takes, though.
Oh yeah, I think the bits that I used to go, oh, that's a bit. Clearly, I think you start to believe the bit after a while. You say it enough, you tweet it enough. You start to really, really believe it, you know, after that. Here's a toxic take. The KUSI guys were great. They're great.
That's just a lie.
Sean says Machado and Tatis don't hate losing enough. They don't care. This team is Charmin soft.
That's an interesting one. Hang on. Stop for a second.
Okay.
They don't hate losing enough. I will certainly say that Manny shrugs it off pretty well.
Yep.
A loss is not fun, but hey, what did he say yesterday? This is a bit of a tough stretch for the San Diego Padres. He acknowledged tough stretch.
Now don't.
But he does. Shrug him off.
Don't you
well.
Have to as a professional?
I think
athlete?
You do.
And this isn't Manny Machado defense. This is every MLB player defense. Every person that we've talked to, former player, says you have to just flush it. You have to brush it off. You never get through a season if you don't do that.
That Manny Machado is massively overrated by this fan base, that we should have signed Bryce Harper instead. The Californians are the softest fans in professional sports. Absolutely no accountability is held, and all this team does is get coddled by them. Current ownership doesn't care about winning, just good vibes, appealing to the lowest common denominator fan.
This one in our chat, that Manny Machado is fat. That's pretty toxic.
That was the point. Wanted to see the level of toxicity it's gotten to. And I'd say after what is it, 5 in a row now?
Four losses, in a row. But 8 in a row on the road.
8 in a row on the road. Playoffs or not, I think it's time for some change. A new voice, new ideas. The roster is aging. It shows with the injuries. A.J. Preller catches some shrapnel in here. A.J. should have been fired after 21 due to a second disaster manager.
Whoa.
What in the world? Was Paula Abdul over there? What was
advertisement?
That?
Advertisement? I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, Manny catches the lion's share in here. Fire Norv is also in there. I won't do anything.
Everyone agreed with that take for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, it got. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments, and you know I love the toxic wheel sound. San Diego, this is one from one of my tier one pitchers, Jameson. San Diego is too chill to be a championship sports town. I see that take quite a bit, and you hear all the little nicknames for San Diego, and yeah, I mean, I submit to you that it's the quality of the players, it's the chemistry of the team, the culture that you have, and you don't need to be some blue collar, ice cold, snowy Philadelphia team. You know, Kansas City Royals have won championships. They're pretty low key. The Texas Rangers last year, they literally don't even like baseball in Texas. I grew up there. I'm speaking facts. Even when they're good, they're the third fiddle. You know, honestly, no one gives a frog's fat ass about the Texas Rangers until August, September, if that.
They oh, you don't mean care. Dallas Cowboys season?
That's right. And even then, it's like, oh, I guess I'll watch the last
Yeah, there's
of the
enough
Rangers
passion
game.
In San Diego.
Bro, 100%.
To win a World Series.
I've been here 14 years. I don't know that I've met more passionate, desperate fans in my life, you know, ever. It's part of what attracted me to it, you know, honestly. And then, like, watching the ups and downs, you know, over the last few years, the moves that worked, the moves that didn't work. You know, I do think, you know, I've said this on the roundtable. I said it, I think, yesterday. I mean, we're just in a position here with this team that we're painted into a corner. And A.J. Preller, he's painted in a corner. You are committed long-term to a couple guys. This team is unfire-saleable. You cannot
It's not fire-saleable, but it kind of brings me to what my potentially toxic take would be.
All right.
And that is, and I know you are committed to some of these long-term players. We discussed that earlier this week. There's really no getting out of some of those contracts. They're going to have to play better. But there are players on your team that you could trade. And it would require a very unpleasant feeling that you're giving up on this season. But right now, It is a massive seller's market. There are 11 teams that are fighting for a playoff spot in the National League that all probably think, if we just add the right pitcher or right player or two, we could make a difference. But there's also four other teams that are going to be bidding against those teams for the same players. If you wanted to turn heel and become a seller sooner rather than later, there is a haul to be had right now. You could be sitting and just like fending off offers of, you know, top prospects, young pitchers, things that will be thrown at you for premium potential players. Guys like a Dylan Cease or a Ha-Sung Kim. The Dodgers need a shortstop badly. No one really wants to see them go, but you don't think the Dodgers, if A.J. Preller called and said, what would you give for Ha-Sung Kim? That, so would that, he put together an offer right now?
So that's your toxic take, is that that should be on the table.
It should be on the table. They're absolutely, not a fire sale, but any player who's going to be a free agent this season or next season could get a huge haul right now and could, you know, maybe hasten a different look Padres team. It would still be centered around probably Tatis and Manny and Xander going forward, but you could reconstruct a lot of the pieces around those guys, add depth, add more pitching, add more young players that could be coming up as potential pieces in 25 and 26. If you wanted to go that route, this is the absolute best time to do it because there are so many teams that are in it and so few teams that are going to be selling. The price tags are going to be really high. I still think the Padres will be one of those teams trying to overpay the high price tags to add players.
Purple says, let's do it. You say that now. I mean, and again, you know, it's hard because there are two sides, right? The side of, well, we want our team to be fruitful and make money so that we can get better players. If you're getting rid of the players that a lot of people want to go see, who's going to go to the ballpark? You know, who's going to go watch
chicken it? Chicken and the
egg. Yeah, it's the chicken and the egg. And who wants to go watch, like, oh, well, hey, we got the next Adam Mazur up. You know, that they've done that here as well. You know, there's been those times here, Ben. So, you're not wrong in the fact that everything should be on the table right now. We all kind of think we know how it's going to go, and I don't think it's going to go that way.
I don't either. But the other
part is, what if they rip off, what if they literally lose the next 9 games? Do you consider it then?
Of course you do.
I think you do.
Of course you do. But by the way, we also don't still know really what's wrong with this team.
Correct.
So why would anything be off the table at this point?
Correct.
Heck, you could trade some of those guys and all of a sudden
be better.
Run on a winning streak for no reason at all.
Yeah, our best season since we've started covering the team, they went to the NLCS without Fernando Tatis Jr. Make it make sense. I mean, guy you want on your roster? No? So, I mean, I do think that that everything should be on the table, but yeah, I mean, listen,
KG trade Profar. He's only signed through this year. He's going to be an all-star. He's having a phenomenal season.
What do you get for him?
What
it
can
sucks.
You get for him?
I mean, that's why these are toxic takes.
Michael King, you think he's going to be built around, but you don't have him signed beyond next year. And a team that knows that, hey, we can add him for this year's run. He's throwing really well right now, and we get him next year. They would give up a fortune for a guy like that right now.
That's why it's
ugly. It's toxic. It's painful to even think about. But if you don't start playing better right away, that is a serious conversation that has to be had. You can't trade Manny. You can't trade Xander. They're not going anywhere. Don't think Tatis is going anywhere. But there are tradable players on this team, valuable players. The actual guys who are playing well are very, very tradable at the moment.
I mean, it's why the next, you know, it's why the next 15, 16, 17, 18 games are just massive. They're just massive. They are. They are incredibly, incredibly important. And let's call it 18 games. How many games again before the All-Star break?
23.
You go 12-11, you're right back to where you started.
You're still in it.
You're still in it. And what does that say to the guys in the clubhouse if you're still in it and you're giving up Dylan Cease?
The real toxic take, which I'm not going to subscribe to, is you're cheering against the Padres now.
Right.
So they don't make more mistakes going forward.
Which I can't do.
No, I can't.
That's not in me.
I can't.
And there's plenty that are.
Oh, wow. All right. We will come back, take on what's next.
come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.